I want to share with you some words of our Unitarian and Universalist forebearers. The first are from William Ellery Channing, who's considered to be the father of American Unitarianism. This is from a sermon he gave called The Great Purpose of Christianity, sometime in the early to mid-1800s. Human ignorance is seen in the low ideas attached to the word salvation. People think that salvation is something which another may achieve for them. The word hell, which all persons acquainted with Jewish geography know to be a metaphor, this word has done unspeakable injury. It has possessed the deceased, diseased human imagination with thoughts of torture and turned their thoughts to Jesus as someone outside them who will deliver them. But the salvation which humanity needs is not from outside things, but it is from the evil within the mind, which hardens itself against love, which makes gain its God, which shuts itself up in the dungeon of self-interest, which consents to be a slave, and which allows itself to be formed by custom, opinion, and changing events. To save, in the highest sense of the word, is to heal the diseased mind and restore it to freedom of thought, conscience, and love. On our Universalist side, Hosea Ballou was considered one of the founding fathers of American Universalism. And this piece comes from an article by Charles Howe in the UU World magazine. And in it, in this part of the article, Howe is contrasting Orthodox Christianity, which was about hellfire and brimstone, with the ideas of Hosea Ballou and Universalism. Orthodoxy considered humanity's punishment for its infinite sin as separation from an angry God. Ballou, by contrast, saw men and women struggling to turn towards moral good and away from the sins that separated them from a loving God. Orthodoxy required Christ to take on the burden of humanity's sin by being sacrificed on the cross, thereby atoning for sin and making it possible for an appeased God to be reconciled with humanity. Ballou, on the other hand, contended that Christ's death released a great spirit of love into the world, making people who were receptive to this spirit better able to atone for their own sins and be reconciled with God. Thus, Ballou argued that the Orthodox had things backwards. It was humanity that needed to be reconciled to God, not God to humanity. Moreover, this atoning spirit of love was available not only to Christians, but to all people, irrespective of names, sex, denomination, or kingdoms. In no case would anyone be sent to an eternal punishment by a loving God. No sin was that great. Salvation was universal. My favorite class in seminary was my UU theologies class. I had been a Unitarian Universalist for about 20 years when I went to seminary, but I really didn't know that much about UU theology, something which had inspired me to initiate this year-long sermon series and class so that I can share, Roger and I can share with you some ideas about UU theology and how it can be relevant for the 21st century. But in my class, I was really excited about my UU Theologies class and the session on salvation. Looking forward to reframing what I'd learned in the Baptist religion of my childhood. Of course, in these classes, as in any graduate school, there was a lot of reading, probably 15 articles just for that one class on salvation. So in order to keep track of all of it, I made a spreadsheet. Down the columns were the various authors and religions, and across the top was, what do you need to be saved from, and how were you saved? This is how I tracked it. A very logical and analytical approach. Of course, we know it's so much more and deeper than that. Now, in my childhood, my spreadsheet would have had one column, the column where Jesus died for your sins, the column where you were born a sinner and Jesus now was giving you eternal life by his death on the cross. I remember one particular Sunday morning, my parents used to drop me off at church and then pick me up afterwards. And my sister went to church with me, but I don't remember my sister being there. What I remember was an altar call. Maybe I was 10, maybe a little older than that. I remember an altar call. Jesus is calling, come to Jesus, give your life to Jesus. And I couldn't go. And I felt like by not walking up there, I was cutting myself off from something. But my heart was not there. Now, salvation, of course, is at the heart of Christianity. Jesus' death to save us from our sin. But it's also at the heart of Unitarian and Universalism. Both of the Unitarian and our Universalist sides really had were Christian denominations who rose up in response to Orthodox Christianity, particularly Calvinist theology, which was the hardest core of hardcore, that humans were born depraved and only God would know whether you were saved or not. In reacting to this harsh theology, Unitarians and Universalists took different approaches to the idea of salvation. You heard in the readings that I shared a bit earlier. Both of them agreed that the idea of hell was causing injury, was not a helpful, useful concept. To be afraid was not a good place to start. William Ellery Channing, on the Unitarian side, said that the salvation which humanity needs is not from outside things, but is from the evil within the mind, which hardens itself against love. He said to save in the highest sense of that word is to heal the diseased mind and restore it to freedom of thought, conscience, and love. So on the Unitarian side, it was our own fear and limitations that kept us from being connected with something greater, kept us from being saved. This came to be known as salvation by character. By improving yourself, by becoming a better person, you could therefore save yourself and be saved. Channing thought of this as the idea that we must learn and grow to heal the diseased mind. This is really a hallmark of Unitarian thought, salvation by character, and it has greatly motivated our movement. As I mentioned, though, in the second sermon in this series, this idea that we must always work hard to perfect ourselves can play out in relentless self-improvement and perfectionism. Our Universalist forebearers also believed that the concept of hell was the problem. The fear of hell was not a useful construct to make people be better people in the world. But they believed that the salvation was all about God's love and not about any individual action. In fact, they believed so strongly it was about God's love that they believed that everyone was saved, that God's love extended to everyone regardless. Hosea Ballou actually even responded strongly to the salvation by character idea, saying, you don't have to become a better person in order for God to love you. God loves you as you are. There's a famous quote of his where he says that your child has fallen into the mire and its body and its garments are defiled. You cleanse it and array it in clean robes. The query is, do you love your child because you washed it, or did you wash your child because you loved it? For both of these theologies, both the Unitarian and the Universalist, salvation was not about doing something or somebody doing something for you so that you could get into heaven or stay out of hell. It was about the here and the now. It was about reconciliation with this divine love, with this spirit, with our interdependent web. Liberation from your own self-created hell, whether it is the hell of your fear and diseased mind of chanting, or whether it is your hell of fear of God's love not being there for you. So let's go back to that question that I asked in seminary. From what do you need to be saved, and what saves you? For Channing, our Unitarian forebearers, he would say that we need to be saved from our ignorance and our passivity, and that we are saved by self-improvement and faith in our own worth and dignity. On the Universalist side, Hosea Ballou would say, we need to be saved from the idea of an angry and punishing God, a God that would consider us unworthy. And we are saved by trusting and accepting God's love. Now, Channing and Ballou actually exchanged countless arguments with each other. Their churches were really about 10 blocks apart from each other in Boston, though history has no note of them actually ever meeting each other. Little did they know that their denominations would merge in the mid-20th century. So in this debate, salvation by character or by God's love, I would say both and. But let's turn to some more contemporary thoughts about salvation. And I thought it would be useful to turn to an African-American theologian. African Americans have a particular view of salvation because of the circumstances of their lives in slavery in this country. Jenna Ray McNeil is an African American theologian. She says it is of enormous significance that for centuries, countless African American Christians have affirmed salvation as vitally connected with spaciousness, deliverance, rescue, liberation, or freedom. She makes three main points about salvation. First, that it's a revolutionary spaciousness and freedom through assertion of an inner authority, breaking bonds of confinement and invalidating these ideas we have of dead ends. Kind of like Channing, that internal voice. Next, she says that salvation is an abiding knowledge and confident expectation. To be saved is to live acknowledging the reality of infinite creative possibilities and the exhaustibility of hope. A divine invitation. This calls to mind for me the Universalist theology of accepting and letting in the liberating and saving power of love. Her third point, she says that to be saved is to have engaged in dissent and resistance. Having salvation is to transpose terrors, absurdities, angst, depression, and all manner of external mental demons into a new harmonious song. Both and. What do we need to be saved? What do we need to be saved from our own fears and limitations that restrict and disconnect us from community and divinity? How are we saved? By our own personal efforts to reach beyond our fears and limitations. Of the three points that McNeil makes, the third point, I believe, is what connects the internal and the external, what connects the salvation by character and the universal love of all. And that is our engagement in the world. That is our resistance and our dissent. It is important to reach out beyond ourselves to this greater love and connection, having the courage to open ourselves to this love. As McNeil says, we reach out to the reality of infinite creative possibilities. To be saved is to engage in dissonance and resistance. This is where the idea of salvation as liberation and freedom comes in. We can see the possibilities and live through them, bring about change through our actions of resistance and dissent. I think this last idea is really the compelling one for our 21st century theology. And I think salvation is on our minds right now. Who will save us? Who will save humans? Who will save our country? I'm listening to Michelle Obama's book, Becoming, and I had a little cry on the freeway the other day listening to it because I thought, come back, Obama, and save us. That's really the Christian idea of Jesus coming to save us. It's a lovely idea. It's a lovely idea. But we can't be passive in our salvation. We can't answer that altar call and walk down that aisle and think that it's one and done. Our salvation requires us to be engaged. We live in this interconnected world. We honor this interdependent web of all existence. So I would say, as in that role, in that liberating role, that salvic role, maybe we're saviors too. Maybe we're not waiting around for someone to save us. Maybe the savior is us. I had someone in my office recently who'd gone through a big awakening and felt called to share it. And they said, but I'm not a prophet. And I said, why not? Why are you not a prophet? And I say that to you today. Why not be a savior? Unitarian Universalism is a saving message. People come here and they say, I didn't know what I was looking for, but I found it here. I feel at home. I feel like this is a place where I can become who I was meant to be. A saving message. Reverend Meg Riley runs the Church of the Larger Fellowship. It's about a 2,500-member church without walls. And she put together a little book called Testimony. It's about how UUs have saved people, all kinds of people, how they were liberated from their fears and their loneliness, liberated from their sense of being alone or unworthy, liberated from the idea, as I was, that there was only one way to be religious, only one way to be spiritual. Her book includes testimonials from many prisoners. Did you know that we have a prison ministry, a UU prison ministry? It's called Worthy Now. We can see ourselves and our stories in these prisoner stories. They talk about reading the UU World magazine in the prison library or as sent to them for free, feeling awe at the open-hearted message, feeling like they truly are worthy now by the saving message of Unitarian Universalism. And our saving message is not just for those in prison, or maybe for those in another kind of prison. We save each other every Sunday by coming together. This is what we do. Expansive, open, interconnected. It's saving to be in the presence of others who share our values. It's saving to be with people who long for connection and meaning and purpose. Every Sunday is a reconciliation of who we are with what matters, who we are with this interdependent web of all existence, a reconnection to divine love and spirit. And so as we are saved, however that comes to us here on Sundays or in connections with others or in the baby that opens your heart, as we are saved, may we go forth and be a savior to others in need of our message. those in need of love and connection, those who need to feel that they are worthy and loved. Let us go forth and be saviors in ways big and small. Let us go forth and be saviors in the ways we choose to live our lives. So may it be.